Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and I'm joined by Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Robin.
And Rick Lubbers, the executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune. Hello, Rick.
Hi, Robin.
So, Danny, we heard pretty much all you could want to know about the what and why of PFAS. Just this week, there's a new possibility of getting more funding to study it and clean it up.
Yeah, that's right, Robin. President Joe Biden proposed the largest funding level ever for the Environmental Protection Agency's budget as part of his overall budget that he proposed on Monday. And Biden's budget asked for $11.9 billion for the EPA. That's a more than $2.5 billion increase from the fiscal 2021 budget, which the agency had been operating under. And so this budget would include, as you said, more funding for PFAS. It would include about $126 million for the EPA, which would help the agency to increase its understanding of the human health and ecological effects that PFAS has, because we know that PFAS doesn't break down easily in the environment, and it's also been linked to serious health issues, including some types of cancers. And so this money is about a $60 million increase from prior funding levels and would go towards studying these chemicals and also cleaning up and remediating them. And as we've just heard, this is a huge problem across the country. And in Wisconsin, there are more than 50 sites that the Wisconsin DNR is investigating. And they really haven't even begun to test for the chemicals across public water supplies, and also the understanding of how widespread contamination of private wells is not very well known. And so hopefully this funding will help to inch it forward. If it moves forward through Congress, you know, this is just the starting point with the president releasing his budget. Now Congress will have the opportunity to take it and craft its own spending proposal.
All right. Well, like PFAS, another story you've given nearly weekly updates on is the wolf hunt. What's the latest?
Well, yeah, and you would think that this issue might have died down somewhat since a federal judge restored protections for the wolves back in February amid all sorts of lawsuits seeking to relist the animal under the endangered species list after it was delisted last year. But what we've seen in the last year is that conflicts between wolves and farmers and hound owners actually rose in Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources verified 108 out of 182 reported wolf conflicts last year. Most of those verified complaints actually came from its Wolf Management Zone 1, which is basically the far northern corner of Wisconsin. And of that area, Douglas and Bayfield counties pretty much accounted for the majority of complaints from, again, farmers and hound owners. You know, over time, the state has paid out more than $3 million to farmers and hound owners who have lost animals since 1985. But you have to keep it in context. You know, the number of livestock and dogs that are killed by wolves is very small. If you look at the number of livestock across Wisconsin, it's almost 3.5 million cattle. And so, you know, if we're talking about 108 complaints overall, it's just a fraction. Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson and Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin have recently introduced a bipartisan proposal to delist the gray wolf in the Great Lakes region. Baldwin says it's driven by science, but not all scientists agree. There are some who believe that the wolf has recovered in the Great Lakes region, but others say you have to look at the wolf's number across the entire country. And if you look at their historic range, the animal really hasn't recovered to that extent. And so it's something that we'll probably be debating for a long time as we continue to see this back and forth in the wolf status.
And you'll be there to cover it. And before we head over to the Minnesota side, where Rick is itching to tell us what's going on, let's stop in a harbor where the shipping season has returned and we have a new Coast Guard vessel.
Yeah, just the other day, the U.S. Coast Guard cutter Spar arrived at its new home port in Duluth after undergoing a year of maintenance in Baltimore. The arrival coincides with a request by Wisconsin congressional lawmakers who are pushing for another heavy icebreaker. The Spar, which was built in Marinette, Wisconsin, replaces the former Coast Guard cutter Alder, which was stationed in Duluth, but left the port last summer for maintenance before it'll be transferred to San Francisco. And so now the Spar will break up ice for vessels on Lake Superior and northern Lake Michigan. And as they were making their journey from Baltimore, Lieutenant Commander Joel Wright said that his crew encountered a lot of thick ice in Whitefish Bay on Lake Superior after passing through the Sioux Locks at Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. He said that there were 9 vessels that were stuck in the ice that they helped the Coast Guard cutter Mackinac to free. And, you know, ice cover in the lake is now under 40%, but it slowed the movement of vessels following the start of the shipping season on Friday when the Sioux Locks opened. And so the kind of delays that you can see with all of this thick ice, that has a huge economic impact, and that's why groups like the Lake Carriers Association and others are lobbying for another heavy-duty icebreaker on the Great Lakes fleet. There's currently 9 vessels, but the association argues that only the Coast Guard cutter Mackinac is able to get through that thick ice that we're seeing right now in some areas of Lake Superior.
All right. Well, Rick, the Oscars happened last Sunday, and since then, everybody is talking about...
Well, you might be talking about Will Smith slapping Chris Rock, but everyone in Duluth is talking about Daniel Durant and CODA. Sunday night capped an extraordinary journey for Duluth actor Daniel Durant and the rest of the team behind CODA, the winner of this year's Academy Award for Best Picture. Durant and the other core members of the movie's ensemble cast joined the film's producers on stage at the Dolby Theater to accept Hollywood's most coveted award. Durant told the News Tribune via Zoom on Monday afternoon that he's been awake all night. He couldn't believe that they had won the Oscars and gotten Best Picture. The title CODA is an acronym for Child of Deaf Adults and is the first Best Picture nominee with deaf actors predominating its cast. And it won all 3 Oscars for which it was nominated. Up until now, Durant said opportunities for deaf film actors have been few.
All right. Well, congrats to Daniel and the entire CODA crew. Not quite as dramatic as the slap heard around the world is the ongoing controversy surrounding Two Harbors mayor. What's the latest?
Well, the latest is that according to the Two Harbors city attorney, Mayor Chris Swanson repeatedly used his official city position for personal benefit or business interests, which is a violation of the city's communications policy. Swanson also made several related city code violations, according to the city attorney. These findings come in a wide-ranging memorandum of opinion written by city attorney Tim Costley, examining complaints regarding Swanson's underwater hotel pursuits, a website soliciting investors in the underwater hotel, tweets about a city cryptocurrency and one of his businesses, and then also using his title as mayor to advance his own financial or private interests, and also using information obtained in confidence to advance financial and private interests. Though this opinion was not presented at Monday evening's city council meeting, it was available in a full council packet for public review. Because the opinion was completed on Sunday, Swanson asked the council to push back discussion on this so that he had more time to review it. It's now expected to be considered at the April 25 City Council meeting.
Okay. Well, we've been speaking with Rick Lovers, the executive editor of the Duluth News Tribune. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Robin.
And Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News. Thank you, Danny.
Thanks, Robin.
You can stay updated on these stories and all the regional news anytime at WPR.org and DuluthNewsTribune.com. And that's it for this edition of Simply Superior. We leave you with more than music from the Doctors Without Borders Ukraine Benefit Concert at the Earthrider Brewery Cedar Lounge in Superior. Here are the Fieldbirds. I'm Robin Washington. Stay safe, everyone.